Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a Two-Faced Twi'lek and a Pugilist Droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian Captain and the Gandroid Tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean Way.
Previously on Heroes of the Hadean Way, the crew, having gathered intelligence, biscuits, and Rodians on Formos, headed for the stars in the mysterious hideout of Bandu Doba. During the trip, they took the time to catch their metaphorical breath and check in with one another, and to prepare for their upcoming challenge. Extended contemplation on personal matters was derailed by the sudden scream of sensors, warning them of a collision course with an asteroid. Cav took the helm with Berwin in the co-pilot's seat. It was not graceful, but they have arrived at their destination, ready to begin. Will they find their answers in quarries? Find out on this week's episode, Safety Features.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight game Star Wars RPG line. Currently, we are playing Trouble Brewing, and it can be found in the Edge of the Empire core book. This is Episode 8, and I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
Dear Cav's fan, Cav thanks his fan for the delivery of biscuits. Biscuits are one of this Gan's favorite foods. Even though Berwin says this Gan leaves crumbs in the sky is on fire's flight controls, Cav eats them while flying anyway. To show Cav's appreciation, Cav's included a commemorative mug. Cav had them made for Cav's fifth hunt as a bounty hunter and impending acquisition of an Imperial peacekeeping license of this Gan's own.
Brandon is once again not sure. Like, Berwin didn't write a letter to anybody.
Oh.
Well, you don't have to follow my lead every time.
Maybe Berwin keeps a diary. Ship's log. Stardate. Oh, wait.
Yeah, she's a regular Doogie Howser.
Going first on the order is great.
I'm Berwin, and I am not going to let Cav fly again for, I don't know, a week. You're grounded for a week, Cav.
This Gan said... This Gan was sorry.
How hard is it to miss an asteroid?
This Gan will repair the damage. This Gan is a very good mechanic.
I told you the yoke was going to get sticky if you kept eating biscuits.
This Gan is sorry. This Gan loves the biscuits.
I'm Leslie, also known in this context as Billy, who is standing back listening to this fight happen. For the third time this month, an asteroid wasn't involved last time, but, you know, those shipping crates didn't do anything to the bounty hunting crew, and they were destroyed rather wantonly.
Why does Berwin keep letting Cav fly? Christine is asking this for once.
Well, at the shipping crate incident, I think the response was probably something like, you really should have missed those shipping crates, but they're only... I mean, the only thing that's harder, that's easier to miss is an asteroid.
This Gand is going to return to this Gand's quarters and cry if Gands are capable of that.
No, this Gand is going to fix something and then go to this Gand's room.
And I'm David.
Mr. David.
And I play Vurin, who is not going to leave this strapped-in chair until someone guarantees me that Cav is out of the cockpit. And that they've broken that stupid beeping thing again. Nothing good comes from the beeping.
That's a safety feature!
That too, safer before it was beeping.
House Vurin, be aware. Your blood pressure is rising. This is not healthy. We've had a conversation about this.
And to get to know our characters a little bit better, we get one of them to ask another a question. In this case, the wonderful Vurin Afa.
Excuse me.
is dying.
It's all the smoke in the ship because it got crashed.
I don't know what just happened.
This Gand is sorry. This Gand is cleaning the sticky controls right now.
I accept your apology, Kev. I'm still going to never let you forget it. That's called parenting.
Sorry, Varun,
why is Barrowin turning to the camera again?
Anyway. Why is Barrowin breaking the fourth wall?
Well, here's my question, actually. I have kind of two questions, but the one I really want to ask tonight has to do with Billy, but I feel like since Billy just asked me a question, I should ask Barrowin.
Well, write it down.
I'm going to ask Billy the question because I think it's a better question, and I think with another pass at it, the question to Barrowin could be better. Billy, I have to ask you something. Does it ever bother you that I won you in a card game? Like...
Someone's trying to assuage you.
Does that weigh on your mind? Like, I tell you, I don't own you. You're free to do what you want. But does the method from which that you transferred out of service to that that casino ever bother you? Does that weigh on you?
I cannot say I have ever considered it to be of mass or weight, even metaphorically. It is to be expected as property to be transferred.
Oh, property. Ah, that hurts.
In this context, House Vorin, to assuage your concern, as it were, it does not bother me.
Ah, well, good then.
I do not indeed know how to be bothered. Although I have been assured that should I continue with a lack of memory wipes, I will learn these things.
That's ominous.
Pat. Billy just pats.
Burra needs to make
man.
A note to himself to a memory wipe Billy before she becomes able to, like, resent his role in the cycle of droid slavery.
I mean, he's pretty straightforward about the fact that she can do what she wants.
She just kind of hangs out with him because she doesn't know what she wants.
Well, he doesn't either, so that fits well.
We're a team!
Woo!
Like a pair of loser teenagers trying to be cool.
Directionless mid-20-somethings and however old Billy actually is.
Depending on... Do you go by chassis or memory wipe?
Memory wipe's the more, like, character-relevant one.
Directionless, like 10-year-olds.
Uh-huh. That's why Barrowin is here to point you at people so that you can kill them. For profit. That's called parenting.
Is Barrowin working on a new catchphrase?
Barrowin might be working on a catchphrase.
And a new book. You can buy it for $9.99 on the HoloNet.
Uh-huh. All right.
It's called Otter Mom.
That's the reality. That's the reality show based on books.
And it's all about getting leashes that work for your various children.
Kind of would solve a few problems. Anyway, we start off with... I'm just sort of thinking of the camera in this particular case. Camera's focused in on R4W9, just sort of plugged into the Sky on Fire's computer network, ScompLink, just going this way and that, transferring data. And W9's feeling a little proud of themselves. They were able to help drop the ship off hyperspace. And according to their calculations, it should be within a very short distance of the asteroid field. And then ka-thump! And along the bottom of the ship as a... not entirely, like, tightly together asteroid, sort of disintegrates as the ship itself comes in. And as the ship itself comes to a rest, the ship's navicomputer comes up as R4W9 starts scanning with it. Very shortly is able to find the location of this specific asteroid that they're looking for a large, slowly drifting asteroid, slowly rotating on all axes. The droid identifies a rock as a likely location of Benden Doba's hideout. As you look on, you can see that this asteroid has been riddled with caverns left by massive space slugs. There seem to be many entrances into the asteroid's interior, and scans show that a number of large caverns have been gnawed out of the rock.
How far away is that asteroid from where we've kind of come to our rest?
I'm going to go with medium range. Like, take you a little bit to get there, but it's not super, super far. The asteroid that you rammed into is out on the edge of this asteroid drift, whereas this one's a bit closer into the center of the field.
Is there any indication that they have noticed us, or that there's any activity for that matter at all, or is it visibly just an asteroid and all we just know that the droid thinks it's there?
Is someone wanting to try and scan it? Like, from there you can see this, it's a fairly large asteroid. The large caverns do look to be big enough that the Sky on Fire could fly within. Like, we're talking Empire Strikes Back size asteroids.
Do you want Cav scanning or repairing?
Repairing for now. Active scans could tip them off that we're here if they haven't noticed us already. Barrowin is going to, like, thumb the intercom and...
Everybody still in one piece?
Cav, I think you've killed everybody.
Gan feels terrible.
No, Billy will reply. I am well. Vorin is as well, though I will not currently allow him on the speaker.
In the background, you hear him.
Vorin hates the scan now.
You actually hear just like this very faint, but you can definitely hear him just like going off in huttees about something. Just eat chuta!
The scan is... We'll start to repair. The sky is on fire.
And since Billy and Vorin are in the same general area as Vrebo, Vrebo around him has all the leftover wasabi peas just sort of on the seat. And the bowl itself has somehow found its way onto his head.
Of course.
Cav, it looks like the shield generators might be damaged, if you could take a look at that. I'm sorry I snapped. Just...
No. Barrowin has nothing to apologize for. That this Gan's fault. This Gan apologizes that this Gan should have done a better job of navigating, and this Gan should have done a better job of piloting. This Gan will repair the damage.
Cav will go ahead and vacate the cockpit with K1 in tow, heading for the shield generator.
Barrowin will move to the pilot seat.
Okay.
There's a lot of crumbs there, too.
There's just, like, crunch as you sit down.
She will tail swipe the crumbs off of the seat.
If I was giving a fractional XP, that would totally be worth XP. But I'm not a monster. Kev is heading off to do repairs. I'm kind of wanting to get a easy computer check to, like, get what the sensors are resolving.
Okay, sure. I think because computers is not really my forte, I might actually refresh my memory on what the destiny pool is. Okay, our destiny pool is 3 and 3 mm-hmm. right now. 3 light, 3 dark.
Yep.
Maybe I don't want to use
yes.
Come on.
The force is fluid. Okay, fine. Giving and taking. Pushing and pulling.
if we regret spending this point later, this is Leslie's fault.
That's okay. Just blame all of it on me. Always.
Man, I'm just rolling all kinds of lots of successes and threat.
Can you give some my way?
I mean, I'd love to. You also get all the advantage to mitigate that threat. So rolling 1 yellow, 1 green, and 1 purple, I am looking at 3 successes and a threat.
Cool.
May I suggest the threat is just kind of... Barrowin is feeling a little guilty at handling the incident with Cav the way she did, so her attention is not
all that much on this task, and maybe she just takes a strain or something.
That sounds reasonable. Yeah, that sounds very reasonable to me. The sort of sensors that you're getting for this is you're noticing that this asteroid is just riddled with caverns. There's caverns that go pretty much throughout the entire thing. There is at least a half dozen different ways of getting into this asteroid, and it's riddled inside.
Are there any active transponders or major energy signatures or anything?
Okay, there's two things. There's kind of three things. There are three major caverns within there. In two of the caverns, in each of them, is life forms are detected. In the first and the third, there are energy readings that are there. And you're relatively certain that those could be spacecraft.
They're at the very least probably not natural.
Yeah, they are definitely reading as refined metallic elements, plus a bit of a power signature to go with them. And the final thing that I'm going with for the three successes is there is a small metallic object that appears to be in orbit around the asteroid. It seems to have enough of a momentum to it. It seems to be doing a progressive scan of the entire surface.
Okay, how small is small? Are we talking Starfighter small, or are we talking
Starfighter small.
Okay. Well, after confirming that the ship, the Sky on Fire, is not, busted to the point that it can't fly, Barrowin is going to get it detached from the asteroid that we're on, and, just sort of slowly throttling toward the, this cavernous asteroid, keeping engine output relatively low just to kind of minimize the obviousness of the ship on sensors. Just kind of trying to be not super obvious insofar as that's possible.
Okay.
She'll try to set an intercept course for this orbiting object.
Okay. So it looks like this metallic object is orbiting. It's doing a full orbit in about 20 minutes. And as you're going through... Okay, I am using a destiny point because this is already a sad check, so I feel that I absolutely should be using a destiny point to upgrade this and encourage every other GM making this check to do it because...
Because it's sad.
See what I'm rolling?
A one green? It was a one green before the dark side flip.
Yes.
Wow.
Get wrecked, whatever that is.
Okay, so you're... able to get in relatively close to this thing. I would go into, say, even to close range to it.
Sure. What is it?
It appears to be a small scanner droid. It does appear to be armed, but it...
Friend?
Yeah, does it seem to be scanning the asteroid or scanning for things coming at the asteroid?
It seems to be scanning the asteroid mostly, but you can tell that it's pinging off with active sensors. It's almost mapping as it goes around, and in this case you've essentially you've been able to get in fairly close to it.
Cav, thumbing the intercom again. Cav,
this scan is
we might have a droid thing going on.
This scan is interested. What droid?
It's outside. How do you feel about going outside?
This scan has a spacesuit.
That doesn't really answer my question, you know.
Barrowin wishes for the scan to retrieve the droid.
Or access its data if it's too cumbersome to retrieve. I'm not sure it'll fit inside.
Question?
Hello, Billy.
This is a Leslie question.
Didn't realize you were on this circuit.
This is a Leslie question. Billy is probably still trying to get somebody to enhance his calm. So how big are we in comparison to, you say it's Starfighter small. What does that mean? Is that the size of... a Fiat 500, and we're...
That's the size of an 18-wheeler or something. It's pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, a starfighter, some starfighters do still get pretty small, but starfighters are still, at least the size of, real-life fighter jets. So they're not small. They're smaller than the Sky on Fire. They're relatively small by
comparison to other Star Wars vessels. So, like, that's really the comparison that...
So if we were to say our ship is 15, like, we are 15 units, would it be a unit? Would it be half a unit?
No, it would probably be more like, depending on the size, 8 to 10.
Yeah, I'm thinking 12, in maybe. The 8 range.
It's about two-thirds as big as the Sky on Fire in terms of, like, length and maybe wingspan.
Okay.
But, like, as terms, it doesn't actually have a lot of space inside of it. It's probably just, like, a cockpit.
It's an engine with a box in it.
Correct.
But this is not a ship, it's actually a droid.
It's a metallic thing that has no weapons, or it has no life signs in it. And I'm going to give... I'm going to go with something that looks remarkably like what I just linked, which is an IRD. General size, it's roughly the same size as like a TIE fighter, but an IRD is even smaller than that, which is what you toss a droid into.
Okay.
Looks like the Star Wars version of like a Huey.
In some ways, yeah. They're corporate sector things.
Oh, then Vuran would definitely know them, but they're not. That's not what it actually is.
Yeah,
is
no,
it?
It's not. I'm just going with this is about the proper size and general shape of it.
Okay.
Let's get Cav outside. You can take Billy if you want. Do we have a tether? Like long cargo tethers? Heavy duty?
Can I have magnetic feet?
This Gand will check the Scan's workshop. K1, continue the repairs on the shield generator.
Which K1 will do, essentially invoking my Speaks Binary talent on that. And Cav will see if Cav has any like anything that can function as a tether, even if it's like a bundle of cables or something in the
I'm
back.
Going with yeah, you've got essentially a length of rope or some cable.
Let's say we're on a cargo ship, we probably have straps of some variety. Yeah,
cable straps of some variety, absolutely.
Bungee cords.
Yes, we're just gonna have a long string
them
of bungee
too.
Cords.
So Cav will go ahead and retrieve the bungee cords. as well as Cav's spacesuit, which, as I think we discussed last time we'd recorded, doesn't have an air tank. Cav doesn't need it, but it looks like it's been like covered in like patches and stickers and all sorts of like anytime Cav's received some sort of like little memorabilia thing, Cav has like slapped it on the spacesuit.
It's like the equivalent of Ron John stickers everywhere.
Just like, you know, Biscuit Baron label at one point, other snack foods, famous bounty hunters. You know, there's a nice one of like, you know, Boba Fett somewhere from some.
Whoever keeps making this roll just can't catch a break.
I am. This was a bad step lock to just go completely by the book on.
Was that another perception check?
No, it's actually a scanner's check, so intellect instead of cunning, so yeah. Yeah, I'm just going on this stat block. The stat block essentially, I don't know if they've actually revised it or something, but the stat block is silly. Make a GM call to redo that rule with it being a 3 intellect instead of a 3 cunning. It makes no sense for it to have 3 cunning, it's effectively useless.
I'm fine with that. I think Vuran at this point will have calmed down sufficiently to come sit sulkily in the cockpit and watch what's happening.
Billy will, would Billy have been sent to Cav?
The ship is able to get in close, but it's like now switching over to better scanners or some such.
Yeah, that sounds as like...
Or it's actually
it's
doing a perception
redirecting
check.
Redirecting its scanners. Like, recalibrating.
Yes.
There we go. That's what you do with scanners. You calibrate them.
As Vern and Billy are getting ready in the airlock to float on over to the droid scanning ship that the Sky on Fire is now pacing, it sends out a local scanning pulse, and everyone who's in the cockpit hears a like tweedle of the ship itself has just been painted, or
okay.
It has been detected.
Barrowin, your ship is beeping again.
This is more of a high trill.
It's also a safety feature.
At which point, the comm starts lighting up.
Hello?
Please identify yourself.
If she lied, I really want to throw into pretending that she's her own answering machine.
With one of those really awkward pauses. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
This is the sky on fire, just passing through. Who are you?
Everything's fine here. How are you?
Everything's not fine here, Vervin.
No, no. I was making a Han Solo joke out of character.
I'm aware.
I like the in character.
Sometimes Barrowin's cunning bleeds into my reality.
This is Picket Droid 6891. Please identify yourself and intentions.
I really don't think we want to tell a picket droid at the place where we are hunting a bounty who we are accurately. It might be better not to answer that question.
Did you just say that out loud while we have an open comm with a droid?
Well, I mean, I assumed you had to press the button to talk, like a walkie-talkie or something.
That's my assumption, too, with this.
Okay, that's fine. Well, what do you want us to do, Vern? You want us to...
Lie.
Can't lie.
Oh, you can't.
Of course we can't lie. That would be bad.
Wrong. It would be wrong.
Do we have to answer it? At all?
I suppose we don't.
We have a gun, right? On this ship.
Yeah, maybe you should go sit in the gun.
Alright, I will do that. And so he'll get up and he'll run towards the turret.
Remember, Cav and Billy are out there, so...
They haven't actually gone out the airlock yet.
Hi. Droid.
Droids have names, man.
We bumped into some debris and took some damage. We're just dealing with that. It's all totally true.
Alright. And with this, like, it had been focusing completely down on the asteroid itself. And now you can see it shifting to point directly at the sky on fire.
Does it look like it's charging weapons or anything like that?
Yes.
Cav, Billy, you might want to cancel that spacewalk.
Why?
Just don't go outside. Vern, are you in the gun?
Yeah, I'm sorry. And in that moment, I'm going to say that you didn't remove your thumb from the PA. So just don't go outside. Stop.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Vern, are you in the gun? I'm just like, oh.
He's like wrestling the like little headset thing that's on the console onto his head. You know, it's sized wrong. It hasn't, you know, he's adjusting the strap and he's kind of putting it on his head. Yes, I'm here. What's going on?
I think it might be about to shoot us.
Okay.
Billy, the scan has a bad feeling about this.
Billy, the scan is not alone.
I would like to, while Vern is, I guess, deciding whether or not that's an order shoot, and I'm not sure if it is.
Oh, he's taking it as one. He's just trying to figure out how to fire the gun.
Barrowin is going to try to do some jamming on the picket droid to screw up its communications.
Hold on. Something's going on.
Yeah, we're about to be shot.
No, something's going on beyond that.
So, should I shoot it or not?
We have names.
Yeah.
Is that not what you're talking about, Ben?
I have a note for Scarif, but I think that was a random person we ran into before the warehouse.
Scarif might have been the Elaman that congratulated us?
I think so, because then my next note is free W9 from the warehouse. W9 is friendly with Cav.
Looking at the notes on... Wow. Okay, I'm looking at apparently page 4 or 5 of the notes.
Okay, never mind. I found it. So this is the problem where I messed up how I took my own notes last time. Portable computer. We have spreadsheets, imports, exports, movement of Glitterstum out of foremost port. And we have, have a note
one
of pass,
file, pass,
shortwave radio shortwave signal radio in signal. It.
I would be more than willing to spend a destiny point to conveniently remember that, Ben.
I think we should.
If you rephrase that so that you are spent, like, as the active so that Christine can cut that.
Yeah. No, I will totally do that. So, Barrowin is gonna try to jam, and flipping a radio point. Is it AM or FM? I don't know. Light side flipping to suddenly and conveniently remember with no prompting whatsoever. Barrowin, do not jam signal. There was a radio wave in the computer we acquired. Billy's going to kind of buzz through her memory and then go over and transmit the information to Barrowin in the cockpit.
What do you want me to do with this, Billy?
Question. Can Vuren hear this?
It's important. I assume that we probably only really have one intercom channel. I don't think this ship is cool enough. Okay.
We
yeah.
just have the PA.
It's just either on or off.
So Tsukata and Freebo are hearing all this too?
If he can hear this, he's just going to see if he can figure out how the gun works instead of desperately pushing buttons in an attempt to fire it.
Good. And then Ben flips to dark side. Oh, wait, your comm doesn't work anymore.
Barrowin will hit the transmit button.
I'm mean. I'm not that mean.
Sure hope this wasn't a please kill us code.
I would imagine a please kill us code would be something more like firing unwarranted offenses upon the ship.
Do we have two gun turrets or just one?
I believe we have two.
Yes, we have two.
It says dorsal and ventral mounted twin medium laser cannons, turret mounted. So it's pretty much the Millennium Falcon, except without quad lasers. It's got dual lasers.
Pretty nice, actually. Okay, so in that case, I'm assuming that the pass has been transmitted.
It's the password, P@SSW0RD. Oh, excuse me.
At which point, it'll respond back with,
"A pleasure as always, Mr. Blunt."
And then it turns and it returns to scanning the asteroid. Though you're also pretty sure that it did make a transmission to the asteroid.
Okay. Well.
And it's at this point I'm going to get the repair roll off of K1.
All right. So that is just a purple on the crit.
Yeah, I don't really see a reason to upgrade it. So yes.
That's kind, because K1 is not that great on her own ordinarily, because she doesn't have any buddies yet, and she's a minion. However, because Cav has a rank of speaks binary and told K1 to do something, she does get a boost. So we're looking at a green and a boost versus a purple.
Yeah, K1 could succeed.
One success, two threat. Yeah, so she repairs that crit, no problem. She doesn't need Cav. Cav's is holding her back.
Okay, there are the two threat there. And I'm going with to do the repair on the crit is going to, like, normally this is requiring a lot more of equipment and that sort of stuff that costs actually a fair amount of money. In this case, K1 is being very direct in trying to get everything up and running again and is causing two system strain to the sky on fire.
That's fair. So we're two hole down, three system strain down.
Okay, so that's just, it's literally just like a person, hull is health, strain is...
Strain.
System yep. strain is strain.
Correct.
So we're two hull down.
Yep. And three system strain.
But ships can't, like, take naps, so...
System strain is usually reflected as, like, it's supposed to be manually repaired. It just reflects things like minor overloads and sort of small maintenance things.
It's pretty easy for a good mechanic to repair that. Like, that's something K1 or Cav can do
in mechanics.
Pretty short order when they have the time. Hull damage is a much different story.
And hull damage takes a lot longer to fix and is generally more expensive to fix.
That's really expensive. We've got to get paid.
So strain works like normal repairs, and hull damage is just a big honking deal?
Pretty much.
How much hull do we have?
22 left, 24 total.
On the other hand, we are down to 11 out of our 14.
But it takes a lot
strain
to kind of, like, destroy a ship, right?
Ships get blown up the same way that characters die. Whenever a ship takes a crit or exceeds its hull trauma, it takes a critical hit, which is a separate table, but it's, like, the same sort of, like, thing where you have to get up to, like, rolling 130 or 40 or above for the ship to be, like, breaking apart.
Okay.
But a ship can be disabled in a fight fairly quickly if the rolls
like
don't
if
go
if you run
away
out of system strain on a ship, it's like the engine dies or something.
Yeah, your
like
systems
that
overload and you're functionally useless. Or
and you're basically just floating.
Yeah, correct.
And then you're working to try and get the engine up and running, get that coaxium flowing.
Yeah, okay. The nice thing about ships is when a ship is is incapacitated, doesn't stop people inside the ship from doing things. So
exactly.
A ship that gets strained out. Yeah.
No need to apologize, Leslie. This is actually all good information because we never really dealt with this in season one very much. And so it's going to matter more for this season. So
exactly.
And we're in ship-based encounters with it, and we have people who can pilot, yeah.
Person who can pilot right now.
I'm working on it.
Okay, time in.
And then everyone broke the fourth wall and just looked at Christine.
Hashtag mandible pout.
That hashtag makes me uncomfortable.
The sentry droid looks to be just going back. It had stopped its orbit, and now it has resumed it as it is scanning the surface of this asteroid. Yeah, this is a pretty ginormous asteroid.
So, I was thinking, before the droid talked to us, that the droid may have scans of the asteroid interior or information that would help us narrow down where we need to be if we can access it, which is what I was hoping Cav would be able to get at.
Okay, if you're wanting to attempt that, that's...
Do people still feel like that's maybe worthwhile, or should we just kind of, like, fly into places and...
I mean, we could possibly just ask the droid if there's a best entrance.
That's true.
That doesn't seem too shifty. Like, is there a preferred entrance for today?
Yeah, let's hail the droid, I guess, and see if it's talkative.
If not, it can just tell us to shut up and go away.
Although if we do go over to it, that would be more dramatic, and you do have a droid tech.
There is an...
I confess, there was this part of me that was hoping that if they did find us, they would find us when you guys were out in space. Because that's what I would do.
I'm wanting to do the classic GM thing of, I'm just wanting to be clear as to which direction everyone's going. Are you doing the two things of, like, Cav and Billy heading over to the droid, attempting to hack into it or whatnot? And Berwyn attempting to get in, or Berwyn and Varen get into... trying to get into conversation?
I think we're going to try to talk to it, and then if that does not give us what we need, we will do the Cav and Billy thing.
Okay.
If Leslie's right and it does just tell us like a approach vector, then super. Like, we'll just take that.
Varen will stay in the gun just in case.
Yeah, Varen should stay in the gun.
Plus he had to climb all the way up here, so he's not coming down anytime soon.
This sounds like the perfect time, and the proper time, to flip a destiny point as you are attempting to get approach vectors off of the sentry droid. So, with this, I'm spending a dark side point because this is weird for the sentry droid. This actually trips its circuits. For it, normally whenever a ship comes in, it either does the passcode or not. If it doesn't, ship is... enemy and must be attacked, and it sends out a distress call, which it's now transmitting because the as it's turning back around to the sky on fire, because it has never been, like, no one has ever done that. It has never had anything. In fact, it's a programmed response that if anyone does ask for a directions, that this is suspicious behavior, transmit and try and, at the very least, detain.
Oops.
So yeah, it's now turning around and is getting ready to blast. And it is attempting to send out a communication, of which I do kind of want to get initiative.
Can I argue for cool, since I've been pointing the gun at it this entire time?
Yes. I'm going with initiative off of... Or I'm going with cool off of the crew. Actually, I'm willing to go with cool or vigilance off of all y'all. And for this thing, because it is being caught unawares, I'm going with vigilance.
So we're all rolling initiative?
Yes. All four of you are rolling initiative. Because all four of you get to go, and it gets to go once.
Oh, there were all my successes for the night, with four successes and an advantage.
That might be the first time I've rolled a triumph in the entire game.
That might be our first triumph. We haven't had a lot of triumphs or despairs
yet. No, I just remember the one despair.
Oh, I think Berowyn got a triumph on her initiative in the gunfight.
Yes, there was that. Like, initiative triumphs have been coming up once or twice, but...
Yeah, all of our triumphs have been initiative triumphs, though, I think.
Go us.
Maybe I'm not 100% on that. Okay, so, currently, there is the one, of which everyone has outdrawn it. So, we have four PCs to go before the sentry droid does.
Does anyone mind if Vorin goes first, since he's got the guns?
Go for it.
All right, well...
Which are linked. Don't forget linked.
Oh, yeah, they are linked. Okay, good, good. That'll come into effect if I hit it.
I don't know what that means.
It's Vorin is going to hope that he has the controls right.
It's limited auto fire.
Yeah, like, if I roll enough advantage, I can hit it twice, because I've got two guns that are, like, strapped together, basically. He'll hope he's got the controls for this gun correct. He'll mutter under his breath, deep breath, take aim. And then I will aim and fire the gun.
All right, so for this... On account of it is close range, and you are within one size category of it, the difficulty on this is 2 purple. And I'm going with, because you are so sweating and somewhat frazzled, I'm going to go with a setback.
All right, so the final pool comes out to 3 greens, because I only have 3 agility. I don't have any ranks in gunnery, but I might change that if time continues to press us into ship combat. So I have 3 greens, a blue, 2 purple... and a setback, and the blue comes from my aiming.
Is the force with you?
I was just about to say, I think the force should be with me, but I've already typed out this dice pool, so someone else flip the destiny point while I give myself a yellow. Can I also argue for another boost, since I've basically been aiming at this thing for like a minute and a half at least?
I would actually go with 2.
Okay, so a yellow, 2 green, 2 blues, 2 purples, and a setback. Watch this come up a wash.
Or not!
Okay.
Whoa, apparently, Vurin is a natural.
I got a success, I got 2 threat, and a triumph. So, yeah, I guess I'll critically hit the droid.
How much damage does one of those shots do?
Hang on, I have the page open.
6, 7.
So this is doing...
Yeah, I didn't get enough for linked because I got threat 7. Instead, but...
Well, you can spend the triumph to activate linked.
Oh, I can spend triumph for linked. Ooh, that might happen. Yeah, I think I'd rather hit it twice than hit it critically in this instance. So I'm just going to spend the triumph to just nail this thing dead on.
Okay, so that leaves a pair of scorch marks on it. You can see electrical sparking happen, like an arcing happen. And it definitely looks like it's flickering on the inside of it. I'm actually wanting to do 2 strain to Vurin. On account of the guns hitting that is so unexpected. It's like, what happened? Oh, no. And like kind of surprising himself with the success.
He didn't really expect there to be like tactile recoil on a gun on his ship.
Pew, pew.
Pretty much. Okay, so there is not enough to actually destroy it, but that does a whole whale of damage to it.
I'm actually going to say that Vurin didn't see if he hit it or not. He fired and he kind of closed his eyes and panicked. Ah! And then he's sort of just on the intercom like, did I get it? Did I get it?
I'm glad I recheck. It's still pretty much the same thing. Like, the whole front of this thing is covering on it is completely blown away. You can see several different sensor arrays that are had been sort of in behind this smooth covering are now exposed. And you can see, like, several of the sides sparking up. And it still looks like you can see these, like, a set of red dots. Almost like the 8 eyes of a spider focusing in on the ship itself. But instead of it being behind this nice plastic-looking cover, it's now you just see the actual 8 sensors pointing straight at the sky on fire. And the outside of it looks pretty melted away.
Good shot, Vurin. Just stay on it.
He'll settle back into the cockpit or into the gun turret and try to aim again. But obviously that's waiting for next round.
Okay, so next player.
May I go ahead and go just because I know what I want to do anyway. What speed were we going at to follow this thing? Like 1?
Yeah, I'm going with this thing. It's just orbiting slowly, so 1.
Okay. I am going to, for my maneuver, I want to punch it and get 2 speed 3.
Okay.
That's going to strain the ship a little bit. As we throttle up and,
you know, get ready to do the thing. And then I will try to jam it now that it seems to
okay,
be trying to
kill
us.
In that case, I would like to get a 2 purple computers check.
I think I will flip a destiny point because it would be regrettable, and Barrowin's finger's been hovering over the like jamming button for a little while.
Fair, I'll even give you a boost for that because you were preparing it.
No good.
Wow, that's a lot of cancellation though.
Joe, just one advantage on that one. It is. Now, there were a lot of symbols in that roll, but only one advantage in the final analysis. So I'm afraid that there's not any jamming going on here, but we are moving fast, so catch us if you can.
Where are we going?
Well, I'm going to start piloting us towards the asteroid and just pick one of the locations that has a power source in it and hope it's the right one.
So we've accelerated, but we haven't changed our position yet.
Not technically, not mechanically speaking.
That's confusing.
Yeah, just by increasing our speed, it'll make it easier to cross those range bands. So it's like the Sky and Fire isn't sitting still. It is still moving. It just hasn't, you know, adjusted our range band yet. We are in progress, but we haven't closed that gap.
Yeah, it's sort of, narratively speaking, we're probably kind of looping around the thing such that in any mechanical sense, we haven't relocated range band wise, but
jumping forward, kind of looping around.
Yeah, maybe we just pointed the wrong direction, so we have to kind of like do a wide turn.
Yeah. Going over so that the bottom turret can get pointed at it or something.
I know what Cav and K1 are going to do on their turn.
That's good. They should do that because I have no idea whatsoever.
So the ship like lurches forward as Barrowin just like jams down the throttle, and Cav smells some smoke coming from one of the compartments because we've taken quite a lot of system strain at this
Cav
point.
Can Cav smell things?
Sure. and so Cav kind of like clambers out of the half put on spacesuit and is going to like click Cav's comm link and issue some orders to K1 to assist Cav and mitigating the frying circuits aboard the ship. And so I don't know what this is technically called in a starship thing. I'm actually not as familiar, but I essentially wanted to do a roll to try to recover system strain.
It's a mechanics roll.
Yep.
It's called damage control.
Damage control? Okay. We're coming up on the end of the night. This will be fun anyway. So I'm going to go ahead and spend a light side point because Cav wants to try to redeem Cav's self, which is going to put my pool at 4 yellow and a boost for K1, who's helping technically in a different part of the ship, but still aboard the ship. Versus, is it just 1 purple since we're not under half?
I'm going to go with 1 red.
1 red, okay.
Because I'm like that.
5 successes and an advantage.
The dang thing showed up, though. Ha ha!
There's all my other successes. Because I rolled 9 successes in the last 2 rolls. So how much system strain would that recover?
Going by my thinking, that should be 6.
Okay, we only had 5, so we are very fast repair team. Just going ahead and knocking out, you know, quickly replacing the parts that were damaged or rerouting circuits as necessary to keep the Sky and Fire in tip-top shape. And the one advantage is we've done such a good job of this, it's going to pass a boost on to, I guess technically has to be the next person that goes or makes a roll. But my idea more is thinking that we are making the ship run a little bit more efficiently than it was a second ago.
Okay. Then we come to Billy.
What's your agility?
1.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, I can go shoot something if you really want to risk that.
No, no one is in it, so.
It's not doing anything right now.
You might hit something.
Can you use the gun turret as a melee weapon?
Not in space right now.
It's called ramming. Need my consent. I've already rammed him. Oh, I get back an extra strain.
Go you.
Because pride and joy means whenever I recover strain, I recover extra strain.
Oh.
If I'm inside.
Hey, Brandon, when did your talents came up?
I'm sorry. I'm just enjoying the joint.
especially considering mine was absolutely unrelated, because if I remember it, you actually have a decent cunning and possibly even a decent perception. And also, I am now understanding where my scanning thing went sideways.
Okay.
Okay, one of the additional starship and vehicle actions is you can attempt to scan the enemy, which is a hard perception check.
I'm like in a really weird spot to do anything useful, though. I'm in an airlock.
Well, yeah. You'd move first.
Like you'd spend a maneuver to get to the
Is
cockpit.
That within the range band?
Narratively, I
it's
say
It's not
sure.
that big a ship.
And like flat out running, if you want to spend the two strain to feel a bit more comfortable with it.
Sure. So Billy's gonna scan something.
Do you have ranks in discipline by any chance?
Yeah.
Because the other thing you could do is called fire discipline, which is rolling a hard discipline to basically
Coach
like call
Vurin.
Shots for Vurin in this case.
That would honestly, that would be narratively something that would.
You
fit.
Like hear him yell when he took that two strain as he's like closing his eyes and firing wildly, and you go to like the base of like the gunnery turret and just start trying to calm him down.
I feel like, given our session zero, I'm surprised at how many things end with someone needs to calm Vurin down.
I just am so at sea right now because there's no reason Billy would know how to do anything on a ship.
Well, that's the reason why calming Vurin down really does sort of fit with Billy's idea. Like, he's kind of flailing up there, very successfully shooting, but also shocked that it happened. And you're not quite sure what the heck to do, but this is something that you can do.
Okay. So, finding herself abandoned in the airlock, since Billy doesn't know what to do and she is not comfortable on a ship, because that's just, from what she remembers, like, her life was in a building. And then when Vurin won her, it was a different building. And then he decided to leave planet, so it became this tiny ship, and she doesn't know how to fly it, she doesn't know how to shoot things, she doesn't know how to computer very well in spite of being one. So she defaults to what she knows, which is when you don't know what to do, you go find your owner. So she's like, okay, I'm going to go find Vurin now because I don't know what's going
Conveniently,
on.
Conveniently, he's yelling, giving away his position.
Well, also, in theory, we would have heard over the comm that that's where he was.
Also, yes.
You just come near the turret, you just hear, ah, Chupa!
Remember your blood pressure, Vurin. Sorry, yeah. I don't know why you suddenly have heart problems.
This episode
it's
is
all
just
that rich food you eat.
The past couple episodes, no, I just imagine there's been a vein throbbing in the side of his temple.
That's his strain vein. So Billy at sea in space
close enough
goes to the foot of the ladder that goes up to the turret and just says, Vurin, remember what the captain said. Deep breaths, take aim.
All right. Deep breaths, take aim. Deep breaths, take aim.
I think that's fire discipline.
That absolutely is fire discipline. So give me a hard discipline check.
That's not going to go well, guys.
You got a good willpower.
Use a light side point.
I've got a 2 willpower.
Yeah. And, you know.
Oh, I thought you had a 3.
The worst that happens is you fail and he doesn't get a bonus, right? Like, it's, if you succeed, great. If you don't, eh. Ship's not,
not
coming.
Because of me. I at least have that going for me, as it won't be my fault when we all die in a horrible fiery crash.
You get a despair, and somehow that means you convince Vurin to shoot our ship with the turret.
No, honey, it's my cunning that has the 3.
Yeah, I thought you had a 3 willpower as well. I think because I think enforcer is with coercion and good willpower. This is frightening. Oh, I guess actually the other person with good willpower is Barrowen, who I was really worried that Cav had the best willpower on this crew. That didn't make any sense to me at all.
Hard is 3. correct?
Yeah, that is 3 purple.
And I get a boost.
Because of the bouncing Cav. Boost. I really like that name for it. So yes, the bouncing boost gives you +1 boost.
It's the end of the night. I'll go ahead and take a point. Roll 2 yellows. 2 yellows, 3 purple, 1 boost.
Hey!
So she's just like, okay, I can't do anything. Find Varin. And she hustles over and, you know, breathe deep, take aim. And then she just stands there kind of being nervous. Because she feels useless.
Can I suggest a somewhat silly idea for the threat?
What?
That Varin is so, like, he's trying to get back in the seat. You know, he's sort of thrown a little bit by the recoil off the gun. And the holdout blaster he took from Vrebo that he forgot all about and has been in the back of his pants for, like, 2 days, just kind of falls out and pings you on the head. It's so light, it doesn't hurt. It's just sort of strain.
I like that.
So, breathe deep, take aim, shuffle, 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 tink.
Yes.
And it's at this point where the sentry droid is going to do a grand total of, well, technically 3 things. One is pre-programmed and essentially the classic free shout, or shouting is a free action. It's going to, since it isn't jammed, it is screaming that it is under attack. Please come save it. It is also going to accelerate. It doesn't have any magical talents, so it is going from 1 to 2. It isn't moving. And then it's going to attempt to shoot at the sky on fire.
Shields are repaired.
All right. We've got 1 in our defense. So, yeah, let's flip 1 to upgrade the difficulty of this attack. Barrowin is weaving the sky on fire around, you know, whatever cover is available, debris-wise.
And we're going... It will be 2 yellows, a green, versus a purple, a red, and a setback.
Oh. Well, getting, I mean, the red brought us a failure, so that was...
A single success. No advantage, no triumph, no nothing, other than 1 success, which does a grand total of 6 damage.
Subtract 3 from our armor, so that'll be 3 more hole damage, so we are up to 5 hole damage total.
And now the paint is actually scratched.
It's a little bit more than a paint scratch. It's about 1/5 of the ship is damaged.
There's some ominous rattling.
Some other part of the paint is scratched.
The little beeper for the hyperdrive breaks again, and everyone's happy.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydian Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydian Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 1-2-T-H and Night with a K.
You can find me on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
You can help me and Billy figure out how to be useful in space at LessLitGS.
And you can find me... the opposite of Vuren and his blood pressure, apparently, at a.k.a. Agent Shades.
And we are all at thehydianway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydian Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydian Way. You can holocom us at heroes@thehydianway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydianway.
Or donate a calf to us at ko-fi.com/thehydianway.
Like that ad lib.
Nice.
That's good.
Calves for Cav.
I thought credits for Cav.
Funnily enough.
Whose obligation is that? Is that a no? We can't possibly have 86.
It's too high.
Yeah, we're not quite up there yet.
Yeah. Okay, so for the obligation roll for next week is an 86, which means no one's obligation is triggered.
We're stressed out enough. That's perfectly fine. And do we get XP for this hash of a starfight?
Yes, you get 15.
50? Okay. That sounds great.
1-5.
nice
guess
try.
What? Guess what 2 skills Cav is going to gain a rank in?
You really want to... use your XP like that while you're grounded?
Mechanics and... I don't know.
A rank in piloting space and a rank in astrogation.
Ah.
It was next on my list anyway.
Cav knows what Cav did wrong that time.
No, it's actually a scanner's check, so intellect instead of cunning, so yeah.
It may just be set up so that it shouldn't be easy for it to notice us.
It's a scanner droid. It should be able to actually scan things. But then it's make an average computer's check. Except it's a... it's a droid that's jacked into a... It should be attempting to make something like a perception check. Is it making a perception check makes so much more sense.
I mean, I thought computers was functionally ship perception,
though. Yeah, but this thing is statted like it should be doing perception.
Doesn't that answer your question? No. In computer science, is a programming paradigm, a style of building the structure and elements of computer programs that treats computation as the evaluation of mathematical functions and avoids changing state and mutable data.
There's no way to stop that, is there?
What is going on?
No, there is. I just didn't want to. Computer.
It's Alexa.
Shut up.
Because Brandon has his Alexa respond to computer.
Yep. And she took offense to something.